I'm not telling people lose weight to get healthy. That's not even how the body works. I'm telling people get healthy and you'll lose weight. You could be 75 years old and have the same metabolism as when you were 25 years old. Support the liver. That's the number one thing. And once you fix that issue, you start to thrive on keto. Hormesis simply means you apply a stress to the human body. And if your human body adapts to the stress, you are now stronger.
Welcome to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast, where we meet the world's top experts to explore the secrets of health, mindset, longevity, and so much more. Are you ready to take charge of your existence and biohack your life? This show is for you. Please keep in mind, we're not dispensing medical advice and are not responsible for any outcomes you may experience from implementing the tactics lying herein. So friends, are you ready to join me? Let's do this. Welcome back to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. Oh my goodness, friends, what a true honor it was to be back here today with Ben Azadi for his new book, Metabolic Freedom. I adore this human. He is so overwhelmingly kind and changing so many people's lives. And in today's conversation, we discuss so many incredible topics. Things like a shocking myth about the metabolism and whether or not it slows down with age. A powerful vitamin called vitamin G with shocking health benefits, which you can take now. Fasting versus keto fasting. The profound health benefits of CGA and coffee. How lack of purpose can actually lead to obesity, problems with seed oils, and so much more. Make sure you don't miss Ben's exclusive free course with epic interviews with my former co-host Cynthia Thurlow, as well as Jason Fung, Dr. Mindy Peltz, and Megan Ramos. You can get that when you order his book, Metabolic Freedom, which I highly recommend, at metabolicfreedombook.com. Hi, friends. Did you know that one of our largest sources of toxic exposure each and every day is through our skincare and makeup? It is so frightening the effects these compounds can have on our health. So we put these products on to help us look better, and yet they actually can be aging us, contributing to health issues, fertility issues, thyroid issues, mood issues, and ready for something potentially even more shocking? A lot of these endocrine disruptors are actually obesogens, meaning they cause your body to gain weight and make it harder to lose weight. That's right, your skincare and makeup may be hindering your weight loss goals. Europe has banned thousands of these compounds, and the US has banned around a dozen. There's even a loophole from the 1960s that allows companies to put whatever they want in their products, and they don't even have to tell you. That's why I am overwhelmingly careful about the skincare and makeup that I use. But here's the thing, it can be hard to find skincare and makeup that is non-toxic and actually works. And then on top of that, that actually has all the products you need. I have found two companies, I am obsessed with their standards and use them every single day of my life and cannot recommend them enough. That's Counter, formerly known as Beauty Counter, and Crunchy. Both of these companies have incredible standards when it comes to what they put in their products. You can truly feel good about using them and they actually work. For Counter products, go to melanieavalon.com/counter. And for Crunchy products, go to crunchy.com. That's crunchy.com/melanieavalon. New Crunchy customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off. You'll also receive something special from me after your first order. I also highly recommend joining both of their loyalty programs. It's completely free to join, and with every purchase, you'll earn credit, as well as other fun goodies. For all the latest updates, new products, specials, deals, and fun things for me, because yes, I love giving things away, get on my email list. That's at melanieavalon.com/cleanbeauty. You can also get text updates when you text skincare to 877-861-8318. That's skincare to 877-861-8318. So again, to shop with me and get a free gift from me after your first order, go to melanieavalon.com/counter and also crunchy.com/melanieavalon. And new customers, use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 at Crunchy to get 10% off site-wide. And again, definitely join their free loyalty programs to earn credit on every order. Hi friends, exciting news. My Avalon X Spirulina is back in stock and now at a reduced price. Plus you get free shipping and my coupon code works on top of that sale price. Spirulina is honestly one of the most nutrient-dense things that you can put in your body in a whole foods, easy to eat form. It's a blue-green algae, which is a complete vegan protein packed with an incredible array of nutrients. We are talking 100% of your daily hard-to-get vitamin K, 625% of vitamin B12, over 1,000% of vitamin A, 86% of chromium, 27% of vitamin B2, plus so much more, including iron, GLA, the powerful antioxidant superoxide dismutase, and even glutathione. In fact, spirulina is so uniquely nutritious that it was actually studied by NASA to support the astronauts. I searched high and low to find the very best spirulina out there. Ours comes from a wonderful, sustainable, clean, environmentally friendly production facility in Hawaii. Not Thailand, Hawaii. And then on top of that, we did our own third-party testing for over 70 pesticides, heavy metals, toxins, all the things. This is the cleanest spirulina out there. And with spirulina, you can simplify your supplement routine and support your nutrition in one easy step. The tablets are super versatile. You can swallow them whole, blend them into smoothies, crush them up, or honestly, just eat them like I do. And again, we were out of stock, but now Avalon X Spirulina is finally back in stock at a reduced price, and my coupon code MelanieAvalon works on top of that too. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to avalonx.us/spirulina and use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off our new reduced price plus free shipping. That's avalonx.us/spirulina with the coupon code MelanieAvalon. The show notes for today's episode will be at melanieavalon.com/metabolicfreedom. Those show notes will have a full transcript as well as links to everything that we talked about, so definitely check that out. I can't wait to hear what you guys think. Definitely let me know in my Facebook group, IF Biohackers, Intermittent Fasting plus Real Foods plus Life. Comment something you learned or something that resonated with you on the pinned post to enter to win something that I love. And then check out my Instagram, find the Friday announcement post, and again, comment there to enter to win something that I love. All right, I think that's all the things. Without further ado, please enjoy this fabulous conversation with my dear friend, Ben Azadi. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the show. I am so overwhelmingly honored and excited about the conversation I am about to have. I know you can probably just hear me smiling. Today's guest is honestly one of my favorite humans on the planet, and I really do mean that. I am here today with Ben Azadi. He's been on the show before. I've been on his show. He is a wonder of a human when it comes to radically changing people's lives and their metabolic health. And he has a new book coming out called Metabolic Freedom, a 30-day guide to restore your metabolism, heal hormones, and burn fat. And friends, I just wish everybody could read this book because it is a mastermind. And first of all, understanding why we have all the metabolic diseases and chronic degenerative diseases that we have today, why we struggle with weight loss, all the things, how your metabolism actually works, and how to have agency to take it back, to change your life with a very much, like Ben calls, pain to purpose, no willpower approach to everything. And of course, it touches on a lot of things we talk about in this show. So the role of sleep and exercise and supplements and biohacking, and there's recipes, and it's just really a wonderful book. Cannot recommend it enough. Get it right now. Just a little story, Ben. So yesterday, I was recording an episode of my show, The Mind Blown Podcast, with our mutual friend, Scott Emmons. I hope this story doesn't freak you out. So the episode was about serial killers. And then we were having a conversation offline afterwards. And I was saying I was recording with you. And so like I was saying, you're just like such a fantastic, wonderful human. And we were talking about you. And we were like, if there was an award for least likely to be a serial killer, I think Ben Azadi would be the winner. And or like most shocking if he was a serial killer, Ben Azadi.
Thank you, Melanie and Scott.
Yeah, you're just such a kind, wonderful human. I would be shocked. But in any case, I am so excited to dive into this conversation for your new book. We were talking just right before this. So your prior book, I mean, you have a massive audience and you were self-publishing, and this is your first traditionally published book. I'm super curious what your experience has been like going those two different routes. Cause I also went that route with my book and, you know, it's a whole nother world working with publishers. And I'm super curious, like with your publisher, did you get to do everything you wanted? Did they have a lot of ideas that you either loved or conflicted with? Like, what has that process been like?
Yeah. And first of all, thank you for bringing me back on your show, Melanie. I love what you're doing. You're incredible. I'm glad we finally got to meet a few months ago at the A4M Biohacker Self Premiere. It's been just so cool seeing your journey, and I really appreciate the kind words. You're very, very sweet. Yes, so just like you, I've done both self-published, and now this is a traditional publisher, Hay House, and I've always loved Hay House. They've had just such incredible authors, and they were my favorite, and I'm glad that I went with them. There are, of course, as you know, pros and cons to both. When you self-publish, you have all creative control. You could go as fast or as slow as you want. Everything is really up to you, which is good and bad. With the publisher, it takes a lot longer. I finished this book in August of 2024, and it's coming out in May of 2025. So you can see there's a gap between when it's done and when it's out. But I have to say, I've been loving my experience so far with Hay House. They've been treating me well, supporting me. We didn't have any disagreements. You know, when we talked about like the book cover, the first image cover was like a speedometer, like this little gauge of kind of like they were trying to get at like the metabolism. I didn't like it because I thought people would see that and not really know what that means. So we changed it to the chili pepper, which showed like explosion, metabolism. And they were really well to work with, easy to work with. And so far, it's been fantastic. I've been loving my experience with them. So I will say, nothing but great things about Hay House at this moment.
As you probably know, we often get having a podcast pitches all the time from guests. And whenever a book comes in from Hay House, I'm like, okay, I really respect the books that they publish, and they publish so many incredible books. So that's awesome that you're with them. Congrats. That's just amazing. Are you recording the audiobook?
I have recorded it already. And it's a pain in the butt. But it's done. Yeah, I did record the audio.
Oh my goodness, how long did it take?
The total, like after the edit, I think it's like 7 hours, but it took me around 26 hours to record it. How was your experience with that?
So funny story, they made me audition. So this was before did I have a podcast? I think I was at the very beginning of my podcast journey. I don't know if I even had the podcast at the time. They made me audition, and then they only let me do the intro.
Really?
But actually, it ended up being the best of both worlds because I got to pick the narrator. So I got to pick one of my favorite narrators from other audiobooks I had listened to. And then I only had to go into the studio for, you know, a couple hours. And then I still got to like sprinkle the book with my voice. Yeah, it's just funny though. I feel like if I did it now, they might let me do the whole thing.
I'm sure they would. I will warn you though, it is a challenge.
Oh man. So, and then you have to learn the cadence, like you have to learn like the process of how to do it. And yeah, it was a whole.
It's so funny because there were so many easy words that I cannot pronounce. And then I would nail the most scientific term that you could ever hear. I couldn't say like cellular or particular. I was having trouble with the L, and the mic would pick up my stomach growling because I did it fasting. It was just, that was challenging, but I do love when authors narrate their books. So I wanted to make sure I did it.
That's amazing. I can't wait to check it out. That's so awesome. Okay, so many directions we can go with this. To start, I know my audience is pretty familiar with your story, most likely, but for those who are not, would you like to briefly touch on your background and, you know, what led to your pain to purpose message? Because you had, you know, a lot that happened with your father and your own personal health epiphanies and your own struggles with, you know, addictions and things like that. So what was that like?
Yeah, it was like a different person, different time. And it's crazy to look back because it's very different than the way I live my life today. But for most of my life, 20 plus years, I was overweight, obese, not just physically, but mentally obese, suicidal thoughts, looking for ways to end my life. And I wanted to give up on life. I was depressed. I was inflamed. I had neuroinflammation. This is when I was 24 years old, a young man. I felt like crap. And I didn't take my life because I kept thinking about my mom. I didn't want to hurt her. I didn't want her to deal with such devastation. So It forced me to figure things out. It started before a nutrition change or a biohack or exercise, started before all that with a mindset change and self-development. Dr. Wayne Dyer is somebody I started to study who really made a big difference in my life. He would say things that would just light me up because I was blaming everyone for my problems. I was blaming my slow metabolism, my enabling family members, and my bad genetics. And Dr. Wayne Dyer, I read something from his book. He said, look, if you keep blaming other people for your problems, you're going to have to hire a psychiatrist for the rest of the world in order for you to get better. And I thought, wow, that's the truth. And he would say things like, look, what happens when you squeeze an orange? What comes out? Orange juice. Why is that? Because that's what's inside. Meaning when life squeezes you and applies pressure, what comes out is what's inside, your thoughts, your feelings. And if you could change that, then you'll see a different outcome. And I did. I started to take responsibility. I started to take ownership, which is the first step towards great change. And then I started to move my body, eat real food, do some biohacks. And I went through this incredible transformation where I lost 80 pounds of fat in 9 months. I went from 34% body fat at my highest to 6% body fat at my lowest. And that was 17 years ago. That's what got me into the health space. Along the years, I was a personal trainer. I had a gym. And of course, then I created Keto Camp, the podcast, and all the good stuff that I'm up to now. But what's interesting, Melanie, we were just talking about Hay House. I just mentioned Dr. Wayne Dyer. Dr. Wayne Dyer, who saved my life, was a Hay House author. And this is my first book that is with the publisher with Hay House. So it's just, what a blessing. What a just such a cool full circle moment for me.
That's so beautiful. It's amazing. You were talking about realizing the agency you have and that, you know, blaming other people is not the solution. And I feel like I've had a lot of awareness around that as well with just the role of personal agency and also realizing if I ever feel triggered about something, you know, it's an issue with me. It's not the other people. I'm curious because we're going to dive deep into your book and what you talk about. I feel like the world today with weight is so interesting because it's become, you know, we had the whole like health at every size movement. There's a whole culture around not like fat shaming and all of that, which I completely endorse and agree with. And at the same time, the topic, it's like you have to tiptoe around it a little bit, not to offend people about this whole weight concept. How do you navigate even talking about the concept? Because it's one thing to be aware of our own triggers and agency, and then there's this whole other world of other people's triggers. How do you handle that? Like just talking about the topic.
Yeah, it's a good question and a good point. We live in such a sensitive society. In reality, you know, I'm the only problem I'll ever have. I'm also the only solution. Meaning for those listening as well, like you are the only problem you ever have. You're also the only solution. I think a lot of people, they outsource that to be offended. A lot of people, and you've seen this, Melanie, I mean, we saw it in our previous episode with the seed oil card. People love to be offended. They get a dopamine rush. It just lights them up. And yeah, being in the fat loss space, the weight loss space, I could see how talking about these weight loss strategies, fat loss strategies could offend people. But you know what's interesting is that even though I talk about it a lot, I don't get a lot of those comments. At least I don't see them. But if I did, here's what I would say. I'm not telling people lose weight to get healthy. That's not even how the body works. I'm telling people get healthy and you'll lose weight. I'm referring to metabolic health, not just fat loss because I want you to look better. I want you to feel better. I want you to have your full personality. It's not about the aesthetics of it. That's just a side effect. It's about you being healthy. If you're overweight, let's face it, you're going to have a shorter lifespan. It's going to increase your chances of metabolic diseases like cancer, heart disease, prediabetes, insulin resistance, PCOS, autoimmune conditions. It's not healthy being overweight. Unfortunately, we have, like, for example, a couple years ago, there was a doctor from the government who went on 60 Minutes who discussed obesity and said, look, if you're obese, it's not your fault. It's your genetics. There's nothing you can do, but you could take Ozempic, you could get a surgery, we got you. That makes people the victim. It makes them relinquish responsibility. And it's the opposite of what we need right now. If obesity was strictly genetics, then let me ask this. In the 1930s, what was the percentage of obesity rates in the United States? And the answer is 1 to 2%. Now, Harvard is saying by the year 2030, in just a few years, 50% of the population will be obese. Our genetics do not change that fast. So we need to take ownership and responsibility. And it's impossible not to offend people. You understand that, Melanie. I'm sure you see it all the time. It's going to happen because people get a dopamine rush from being offended.
Yeah, that I forgot about. So last time we talked a lot about seed oils, and Ben has this really cool seed oil card that you can bring to restaurants, and basically it tells the server, you know, how to prepare your meal so that you won't have seed oils. It's interesting. So like you, Ben, I don't normally get like negative feedback a lot on my social media, but for some reason that post, people were like upset about this seed oil card. And I was like, whoa, like, where is this coming from? Yeah. So it's just really interesting. And then also, not to make this a whole Ozempic episode or anything like that, do you think there's benefit to people being on these GLP-1s if that's the thing that, you know, is the switch that puts them on a new path to change their habits?
Well, I would say this, I'm not a GLP-1 expert. I haven't studied it enough. I don't use it to give my, you know, stance on it. But I will say this, if they're using it at a low dose, and like you just said, it's getting them in the right direction where they could wean off, and now they've gotten some momentum, I like it. Now, I don't use it. I don't recommend it. It's not my style. I like going the natural route, but I could see the value in that with certain cases, yes. But it's not my area of expertise. I don't use it, or I haven't researched it enough to use it as a tool.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm similar. I'm intrigued by the potential. I think a lot of times, though, people, I have a lot of concerns at the same time. So I think it has a place, though. Speaking still of this whole idea of weight and everything, you referenced a study in the book that I just found completely fascinating and shocking. In fact, I became a little bit obsessed with it. I like tracked it down and read the whole thing. And then on an episode of the Intermittent Fasting podcast that we were recording, I talked all about it and like said how I learned it from your book. And it is, okay, so the study was called Daily Energy Expenditure Through the Human Life Course. And you talk about that in the book, but basically people think that our metabolism slows down like drastically with age. And this study is fascinating. So as you mentioned in the book, you talk about how after age 60, so basically from age 20 to 60, it doesn't really slow down like people think. And then after 60, it's like less than 1% every year, which I just think is a complete paradigm shift. What did you think about this concept of the metabolism slowing down and what this means?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have to say, I could see why you're so successful as a podcast host. You're such a great, you prepare. I'm really impressed with the questions and the amount of research. I could tell you actually read the book. So I want to just say good job, first and foremost. That study is a great study, and I'll unpack it for your audience because I love that study. It's probably the best study ever done on the metabolism. It's a 2021 Duke study. And for so many years, I hear people say, I have such a slow metabolism. Once I hit 40, my metabolism slowed down. Once I hit 50, my metabolism slowed down. And I thought, is that really true? Well, this study had 6,600 people in it. And it wasn't just a US study. It was a worldwide study. Multiple countries were involved. And out of those 6,600 people, the age range, Melanie, was between several one-year-olds to 95. So age 1 to age 95 and everything in between. And they used a very sophisticated, what's considered the gold standard metabolism testing to measure their metabolism. And to your point, the study said between the ages of 20 years old and 60 years old, there are no significant changes in the metabolism. Once you reach 60 years old, there's a 0.7% decline in the metabolism every year at that point. Now, that might sound like bad news if you're listening to this and you're 65 or 75 or about to turn 60, but the study said the main reason why the metabolism starts to decline after 60 is loss of muscle mass. This means if you're 30, 40, 50 right now listening to this and you start building lean muscle mass and preserving that, or if you're over age 60 and start building lean muscle mass, you could be 75 years old and have the same metabolism as when you were 25 years old. So that's super amazing. And I love that study. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's so fascinating. Actually, when we were talking about it on the Intermittent Fasting podcast, I turned it into a guessing game. I was like with my co-host, I was like, okay, guess what happens to the metabolism between like age 0 to 1 and then age, 1 to 20? Because apparently from age 0 to 1, it's like just rapid, rapid increase, and then increasing more as well from like 1 to 20, and then just not really changing that much, and it points out as well that sex wasn't a factor, because I think people often think, women's metabolisms are more, thrifty, or, that there's more of a concern there. But it said that sex didn't make a difference. Pregnancy didn't make a difference in the metabolism. Yeah, and up to 60. And then, like you said, when it is going down, it's not even necessarily inherently the metabolism. It may be that muscle, which we can, people can really support. I just want everybody to read this study.
So that means all of your excuses are not valid.
I know. They're like out the window. And also, thank you so much for the kind words. I just really adore talking with you. Speaking of actually that first phase, so that age, right when we're born and our metabolism's rapidly increasing, something else you point out in the book is that we're born in the state of ketosis. Is that correct when we're born?
Yeah. So babies that are breastfed are actually in ketosis. The reason why is because breast milk has saturated fat, has cholesterol. And then the argument is, but yeah, Ben, there's sugar and lactose. True. But the baby, in their studies, I have three of them in the book, that studies show the baby is so efficient at using the sugar, it naturally goes in and out of the state of ketosis. Sugar burning, fat burning. And it's because those ketones help the neurological development of that baby's brain. So yes, we are naturally born in a fat burning state.
I had not thought before about, I thought a lot about the difference between breastfeeding versus formula feeding. I had not thought about it from this approach of the macronutrients. Is formula feed, I don't know much about babies, is formula feed typically higher carb?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. The baby is weaned off of the breast milk. And in some cases, I'm not shaming moms that can't breastfeed, by the way. I'm just saying this is what's happening. Some cases, mothers cannot breastfeed, and yeah, the baby's weaned off, and most instant formula is high sugar, high carbs. Some have seed oils. And then even after that, the baby then grows up, and as an adolescent, they start eating every 2 to 3 hours. They become a sugar burner. You take this naturally fat-burning baby, and it becomes a sugar burner. And then it's 70 years old. And well, I shouldn't even say that, because if you're a sugar burner, you probably won't even make it to 70. You're probably 40 years old and you have all these symptoms because you're stuck burning sugar.
Yeah. And so that's, a huge part of your book is identifying this idea of being a sugar burner and how to get back your metabolic flexibility. So what are symptoms that somebody might be a sugar burner? And in particular, I have a question, because I've never seen this symptom before in your symptom list. And you said one of them was like brown patches on your armpits. What is that from? That's from sugar burning?
That's from insulin resistance. Yeah, sugar burning. So it's a sign of insulin resistance. When you have brown patches around your armpit area and neck, typically those who have insulin resistance have that, along with the skin tags as well. Those are two signs that start to show up on your body.
Is it, okay, question. Is it like where the skin is actually brown, and if you like scrape at it, it's like brown? Is that what this is?
It's a discoloration of the skin. Yes, exactly. Like when you pull it, like when you like kind of stretch it, you could see it kind of, if you just go on Google and type in insulin resistance brown patches, you could see exactly what it looks like.
Okay, I have to look this up really quick. Hold on.
Yeah, and as you look it up, I'll go through this sugar burning quiz I have in the book, which I ask 6 questions, and it helps to identify, are you a sugar burner or a fat burner? So for those listening, I will ask you the 6 questions. If you answer yes to 2 of the questions or more, it's a sign you're a sugar burner. So the first question is, do you feel tired after eating meals? Second question is, do you snack in between meals? Third question is, do you have more than 20 pounds of extra weight on your body? Fourth question is, do you have any skin tags on your body? Fifth question is, do you have any brown patches underneath your armpits? And then the 6th question is, if you skip a meal, do you get hangry, hungry, and angry. So if you said yes to at least two of those, you're a sugar burner. So yeah, that's the quiz. Did you find the photos of the brown patches?
I did. And I'm having such a major epiphany right now because I had this on my neck in high school and I did not know what it was. And it drove me up the wall. It could start that young, like in high school.
It can. Yeah. Were you a sugar burner in high school?
I guess so. I mean, yes, I didn't start really taking into consideration my metabolic health and diet until college. I first went on a low carb diet in college. And before that, I was literally eating all the things all the time.
Yeah. So possibly, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if that was just one thing out of the six, maybe not, but possibly could have been from high levels of insulin.
Yeah, that's so, so interesting. Hey, friends, I'm about to tell you how to get 10% off the ideal coffee when it comes to supporting your health. So if you guys know me, you know I am obsessed with optimizing basically everything I consume, and that especially relates to coffee. Did you know that coffee is one of the most powerful sources of antioxidants in the modern diet? And yet, not all coffee is created equal. Between sourcing, farming practices, roasting, and contaminants, there can be a huge difference in the health impact of the coffee that you drink. That is exactly why I created Glow Coffee. Glow Coffee is a premium, specialty-grade Arabica coffee sourced from sustainable women-led farms in Colombia. It's organically grown, and we third-party test it meticulously, like every single lot, for purity. And what makes Glow especially exciting from a biohacking perspective is that we specifically made it to be rich in chlorogenic acid, or CGA. That's one of coffee's primary, most potent antioxidant compounds that has been studied for its role in metabolic health, inflammation, oxidative stress, and so much more. The elevation levels of the beans, how they're grown, and how they're roasted all affect CGA levels. So we searched high and low to find the perfect beans naturally high in CGA and tested them to confirm that, and then we roast those beans to preserve the CGA content. And then test after that as well. Coffee is already one of the potentially biggest contributors of antioxidants in the human diet, so I designed Glow Coffee to maximize those benefits while keeping it incredibly clean and high quality. And this coffee is so clean. It's grown organically, of course, but then we go even farther than that. We third-party test the beans for almost 100 toxic compounds, including pesticides, heavy metals, and mold. Oh, and perhaps the best part is it is absolutely delicious. We're talking smooth, low bitterness. It's honestly the exact coffee I personally want to drink every single day of my life. It's so bright, smooth, and delicious that it's also perfect black for fasting. No added sweeteners or cream needed. You can also splash it on your face for an antioxidant-rich toner. I do that every single day. After the sauna, after the shower, all the things. I created Glow Coffee because it's really about upgrading one of our most common daily habits into something that truly supports your health and performance. You can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. That's 10% off Glow Coffee with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. Are you ready to glow inside and out? Fuel your day, illuminate your way. That's glowcoffeeco.com. Okay, so people hearing this, you know, that your book provides so much agency to work your way out of this, and not even work, it's no willpower approach, out of this, the sugar burning state. A big question I have for you is, you know, you're a big advocate of a keto diet and fasting, and what are your thoughts on, you have them together, like keto fasting, what are your thoughts on taking a ketogenic route to addressing this, but not fasting, versus taking a fasting route, but not necessarily eating keto in the window, and then combining them? And I actually found a study the other day that talks about the differences between the two, which made me excited. Yeah, what are your thoughts there? Do you think there's more bang for your buck or benefit combining them? What's happening?
I want to hear more about the study after I share. Yeah, the best way to do it, at least what I believe right now is the best way to do it, is to first do low carb keto and then pair it with fasting versus going, if you're a sugar burner and you go right into fasting, it's like running a marathon without training for it. It's going to feel awful. Your body could break down muscle instead of it's not going to use ketones because it's not metabolically flexible yet. The brain will send intense signals for cravings to the body because it's stuck burning sugar. But when you get more fat adapted, keto, then pair with fasting, then you have ketones, which is going to fuel the brain. You're not going to break down muscle. You're not going to create gluconeogenesis. You're going to use ketones as fuel. So the best way is keto, then fasting. That's the way I have it built out in the 30-day plan. Can you do keto without fasting and get benefits? Yes. But if you pair it with fasting, you'll get more benefits. Can you do fasting without keto and get benefits? Yes. But if you're a pure sugar burner and do a lot of fasting, it will be difficult. So there's many different ways to do it. But I want to hear about the study that you're referring to.
I'm so just fascinated by this whole thing. The study I found, so it was called Common and Divergent Molecular Mechanisms of Fasting and Ketogenic Diets. It was February 2024 in Trends in Endocrinology and Metabolism. So I can send it to you. But basically, hold on, let me pull it back up. So they were talking about, so they say in the beginning that fasting, short-term, so intermittent short-term fasting and ketogenic diets, they say exert, quote, overlapping but not identical effects on cell metabolism, function, and resilience. They say that the benefits of a keto diet are largely mediated by the ketone bodies, whereas fasting actually engages additional adaptive physiological responses. And then they go through and they say like what gets attributed to each, you know, side. So keto diets, they say, act mainly through the inhibition of histone deacetylases, reduction of oxidative stress, improvement of mitochondria efficiency, and control of inflammation, compared to fasting, which is autophagy, increased insulin and leptin sensitivity, activation of AMPK, inhibition of mTOR, bolstering mitochondrial resilience, and suppressing oxidative stress and inflammation. And then they suggest that switching between the two can optimize health by increasing stress resistance and enhancing cell plasticity and functionality. Yeah, I was really excited to find this study because it actually like pinpointed the specific mechanisms of each side.
That's cool. And so that's great. It agrees with what I said. Yeah, pairing the two is important. What's cool about that, what you just explained, is that fasting enhances ketones. And so it kind of has a good relationship there. They both play really well off of each other. With keto, you do get some autophagy, you get some of those mild benefits of fasting, but fasting just enhances it. And I love fasting. I think it's nature's reset button. It's one of the best ways to harness this innate intelligence. So I love that study. Definitely send it to me because it's very interesting, but it works really well together. And that's why I have a whole chapter on keto, chapter 7, a whole chapter on fasting, chapter 8, and it's part of the game plan on the 30-day plan.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I think I had been thinking of things more like a pillar of either you're fasting and it's not necessarily ketogenic or you're doing a keto diet. So I love this idea of the potential of combining them. And then also I'd be interested, like, because at the end when they say like switching into a non-ketogenic state can also have benefits. Like I like the, it seems like there's like a lot you can potentially play with everything. So in your book, speaking of fasting, you have 4 different types of fasting. There's so much debate in the fasting world about all the different fasting approaches. So how did you decide on and what was the reasoning for the 4 types that you have?
There's a lot of debate, huh?
There's so much. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
First of all, in that plan, there's no fasting until you're fat adapted. First, I get the person fat adapted and then we start pairing it with fasting. And I based it off of different things that happen during a fast. We know you mentioned autophagy. There's gut repairing systems that happen during a fast. There's fat loss. I mean, there's so many things that you mentioned already. And it all relates to hormesis, whether a fast is working for you or against you. In the biohacking space that we're in, Melanie, I think a lot of people violate hormesis. They don't really understand hormesis, I've seen. They might talk about it, but hormesis simply means you apply a stress to the human body. And if your human body adapts to the stress, you are now stronger, less inflamed, healthier, you're getting more results. But if that stress is too much for your body to adapt to, well, all of a sudden you're not getting those benefits. You're getting the opposite. You're inflaming your body, shortening your lifespan, and not burning fat. Fasting is a stress to the body. I think we could all agree to that. But does it mean it's bad? I hear some people in our space say women should never fast because fasting is a stress to the body and it's not good for women's hormones. That is similar to saying women should never exercise because exercise is a stress to the body and that's not good for women's hormones. It's not the stress. It's whether or not they are adapting to the stress. It is true. A lot of women and men practice too much fasting and it's too stressful. So the way that I mapped it out with the four different styles of fasting is we're building up the fasting muscle. We're starting very low and slow, 12 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours. Eventually we'll get to a 24-hour fast, but you're not doing that right away. We're working on that metabolic machinery one day at a time during the 30-day plan. So that's the reason why I came up with that game plan. I wanted to do even like deeper stages of fasting, like 36 hours and 48, but I thought that's a little bit too much. That'll be more of like an advanced book. This is not that for that reason. So yeah, it goes up to 24 hours in that protocol.
Actually, so to that point, I'm really curious, two questions. One, do you remember the first day you consciously tried a day of intermittent fasting?
Ooh, good question. I know it was in 2013. I can't really pinpoint that first day, but I know that that was the year.
Okay. I'm always so curious by that because for me, I made it like such a thing. Like, so I have this really defining memory of my first day of one meal a day fasting. And I thought it was going to be, you know, like I was going to die and it was going to be so hard. And like,
I did remember feeling that way though. Yes.
And then I thought I was going to do it for a week and then be done. And yeah, here we are decade later. You know, what's the longest fast you've done?
5 days, 5 day water fast. What about you?
Honestly, I think like 50 hours. Yeah. I have not done like a 3 day fast. How did it feel on day five?
People love, at least recently, I've been doing content on what happens in your body during these long fasts, like a timeline sort of thing. I did a solo episode on it on my YouTube and 2.2 million views in like 40 days. I did it back in 2018 with Dr. Pompa and in the group that I'm in with him. Mindy Pels was in that group as well. And we all did it together where we went 5 days without food and just, it's called a water fast. People hear water fast, they think it's fasting from water. No, it means only water. It was interesting because day two, I had the most hunger, but I know hunger is just a hormone and it goes away. Day three, the hunger was gone and I started to get back pain on my lower back. It's like pulsating back pain. And it was actually, what was happening is that I had reoccurring lower back pain in the past doing deadlifts and CrossFit. So it was autophagy healing that area. And I heard this from other people doing long fasts when they had an old injury. It usually gets flared up during a long fast and it's autophagy healing that area. Super cool. So I noticed that and it actually lasted throughout the entire fast. And get this. When I broke my fast on day five, soon as I had my first bite of food, the back pain went away.
Wow.
Incredible. So I noticed also I was very, very introverted during the fast. I remember my current fiance, who was my girlfriend at the time, she said to me, "Why aren't you talking to me? Like, you're so quiet." I was just very like introverted. I had like these creative thoughts. It was like that brain-derived neurotrophic factor that was going on. That's why every religion has some form of fasting, because it really just connects you closer to your source. And it was great. It was such a healing experience for me. I broke it very low and slow. And I'm actually due for one of those again. So I might do one soon and document it for content.
Oh, wow. Have you done one with your wife?
She doesn't do it as long as I do. She's done like 24 hours. I think she's done maybe in a day and a half. But no, we haven't done it together. She is not as inspired as I am to do it.
Not called. I'm just thinking about it more, especially hearing you say, you know, that day two is the hardest, which is what I always hear. And so, like I said, the longest I've done is just a little bit over, well, wait, I can't do math.
Yeah, that's a little bit over 2 days. Yeah.
The thing is I've done that actually multiple times. So I don't think I've actually made it past the hump of a longer fast. So I don't know how I would sleep. Is the problem. Could you sleep okay?
Yeah. So my sleep wasn't that great as I went through day three, day four, just because of those counter regulatory hormones. The body thinks you're going through a famine. It wants to give you energy to go hunt. So yeah, that for a lot of people, that could be an issue. You probably, it needs to be a week where you're not that busy because your sleep might not be that great.
There were two things you said in the book that were about causes of issues, and they were, I think, a little bit unexpected. So I'd love to talk about them. So One of the first ones was you were saying that the number one reason people fail on keto, it's like dot, dot, dot. What do people think the answer is? You say that it is the liver being backed up. So yeah, what is happening there?
Yeah, good find. Because I've taken over 6,000 people now in the last, just the last, let's say 7 years through a keto protocol. And I've got a lot of data, right? So I noticed the number one reason why people struggle on keto is it's a liver issue. And the reason why, the liver is a major player on keto. It's a major player in general. Speaking of the question you asked earlier about publisher versus self-published, one of the things I originally wrote in the book is that the liver is the soccer mom organ. And Hay House had me change that. They thought it was a little bit too offensive, I guess. You can't say it. So it was changed to, I think, MVP organ in the book. But that's giving you the lowdown of what originally it was supposed to say. But anyways, that's not a disrespect to soccer moms. It's actually a praise, because soccer moms do everything for their family. Like, the liver does everything for the human body. One of those things that the liver does, it produces bile. Bile helps to break down fat. When you eat keto, you're eating more fat. And when you have a sluggish liver from toxins, medications, carbohydrates, you're not going to break down the fat on keto. You're going to have loose stools, diarrhea. You're going to feel off. You're going to call it a keto problem, but it's a liver problem. Simple solution: love your liver. Eat bitters. I give you a whole list of bitter-rich foods. I suggest maybe even doing castor oil packs, coffee enemas, anything you can do to support the liver. If this is you, you're eating fats, you have loose stools, diarrhea, it's a liver issue. Support the liver. You could also take digestive enzymes, bile salts, ox bile. So yeah, Melanie, that's the number one thing. And once you fix that issue, you start to thrive on keto.
Yeah, I love that you talk about this, because when I asked the question earlier, like the number one reason people fail, I feel like most people would not guess that you would say the liver. For you personally, did you experience that? And did you personally, all of the different things, like the solutions that you offered, did any of them work really well for you?
Yeah. You know, having apple cider vinegar really helped. It's a bitter for the liver. Having things like arugula with my meals. And when all else fails, I just started to take some ox bile, some bile salt. So yeah, I had that issue, loose stools, diarrhea, when I first started doing a lot of keto.
I was going to say awesome, not awesome, but I'm glad that we have awareness. Did you ever do coffee enemas?
I haven't done it yet. I've done suppositories. I just bought an ozone machine for my dog, because he just got diagnosed with lymphoma.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And so I'm doing all these biohacks for him, red light, beam minerals. And one of the things that I found through the research is that ozone therapy, rectal ozone therapy, works the best for this type of cancer. So every day I do it on him, and I'm probably going to start doing it on myself, different catheter or different than my dog's. But yes, ozone is great. I got off topic here. You were talking about enemas. I have not done enemas. I've done the suppositories, but I'm not opposed to it. I probably should do one. Have you ever tried it before?
Yeah, so many thoughts here. So yes, I think this happens to a lot of people. Well, I don't know a lot, but I know what happens to people based on my research with the coffee enema world is you start doing them and they feel really great, and then you kind of get like addicted. So I could definitely like got into like a coffee enema addiction phase, and I was like, we gotta stop this. So I probably did like one daily for a couple months. Yeah, but not a lot of so the one caveat I'll give is I didn't make it like super high coffee amount. But yeah, the first time I did one, I was like, whoa, this is what it feels like to be alive. So, and to clarify for people, like the purpose of it, I know when people hear enema, they might think it's, mostly for like bowel movements or things like that, but it's more so to like we're talking about, to support the liver. Apparently it's supposed to make the liver like dump bile, and it's energizing. So yes, I had a good experience. I did have to wean myself off of it. Regarding the ozone, I have not done rectal ozone, but I have done actually vaginal ozone stuff before. So that was cool. Apparently it just kind of like...
Have you noticed a difference?
I think so. Apparently it just kind of like cleans everything out, rebalances. I probably did that for a couple months, like once a week for maybe a month or so.
You really are a biohacker.
I know. How does your dog take doing the ozone to him?
The rectal? He, my dog is... I love him so much. He's just the sweetest dog. I've had him since he was 3 months, and he's 11 and a half years old now. He's a 90-pound German Shepherd lab mix. He eats raw, carnivore, takes his minerals, digestive enzyme supplements. He's on CBD. He's on blue scorpion extract. He's on energy bits. And so he's like a cat, meaning he's just so relaxed. He sleeps all day. And he's not finicky like a cat, though, because he allows me to do the ozone. He just stands there, gives me those eyes. And the cool thing about the rectal ozone, it's really quick. So I lubricate it with olive oil, put it in, squeeze the bag. It literally takes like 10 seconds. And then I go take him for a walk because he usually has to poop. So I've been doing it every day. We're going to monitor. I work with the holistic vet here in Miami. We're monitoring his white blood cell count every 8 weeks to make sure it doesn't increase. And I'm pretty confident we could prevent it from increasing and prevent it from metastasizing. We caught it very early, which is great. And yeah, I just love him a lot, and I want to do anything for him.
Aww. Okay, I'm sending all the good vibes. Sounds like he's got the best dad ever. That's amazing.
Thank you, Melanie.
Okay, so the other one, so that was one of the like shocking number one causes things in the book. There was another one, and it was the number one cause of obesity and diabetes, .. What do people think? And you said lack of purpose. So what is going on there?
Ooh, yeah. You know, when we think about obesity, we think about what people are eating that causes this obesity, but it's really not what people are eating. It's what is eating people. Meaning, when you lack purpose, there's a hole that needs to be filled, and most people fill it with high dopamine producing foods. And that was my story. When I was obese, I didn't have a purpose. There's a great quote that I put in the book. I'm going to share it right now. And it's from a guy named Robert Heinlein, who wrote a book called Strangers in a Strange Land. It's like from the 1970s. You don't have to read the book, but the quote is terrific. The quote says this: in the absence of clearly defined goals, we become strangely loyal to performing daily trivia until ultimately we become enslaved by it. Let's unpack that. In the absence of clearly defined goals, meaning you don't have any goals, no purpose, then you become enslaved by daily trivia. Daily trivia is carb addiction, food addiction, drug addiction, things you do to hurt your body just to get an instant fix, a dopamine hit, which leads to obesity. I have found that when people are clear on their purpose, they know what's important to them. They're now living on purpose with their purpose. They start to treat their body better. They don't want to eat the crappy food. They don't want to get hungover because it takes them away from their goals. And that's exactly what happened to me. You know, Melanie, for most of my life, I've been told, Ben, you have an addictive personality. You have an addictive personality. And it's true. I had a lot of addictions. I was addicted to drugs, video games, sugar, toxic relationships. But when I started to get clear on my goals, that addiction turned into a superpower. If you have the ability to be addicted to something, congratulations. That could be used and harnessed as a superpower because we put so much energy into our addictions. And if you transfer that energy into something good, you're now unstoppable. I'm unstoppable right now because I'm clear on what's important to me. I'm living on purpose with that purpose. And now that addictive behavior, personality has turned into a superpower. I don't have time to eat all the crappy food that made me obese. It's the same thing with obesity. And when we lack that purpose and clarity, we're going to continue to eat these inflammatory foods that lead to obesity.
I love this conversation so much. I thought about it a lot because I actually even have self-identified saying I have an addictive personality. But what I mean by that is I definitely really love engaging in the dopamine loop. And I get it though from like my purpose and my work. And I think what's really important, and this is kind of a tangent, but I think it's really important that people understand, like, especially with dopamine, you're not working towards your whole life towards this one dopamine reward. And then that's like the thing. It's always a loop. So if you're doing things that feel good and release dopamine and are good for you, then you just can keep experiencing that. I think like just being really aware of that. So like being purposeful in where you're getting your fulfillment and your pleasure from life, I just think is so, so important. And have you had, have you interviewed Dr. Anna Lemke by chance?
I have not, no.
She wrote a book called Dopamine Nation.
I've heard of the book.
Yeah, she's amazing. And we had a really nice conversation about this whole concept of, you know, is it even possible to get dopamine from only beneficial things in your life and kind of like be addicted, but it's all good things. She was like skeptical of the idea, but I was like, I don't know. I feel like it's working for me, like, you know, with purpose and work and everything. So
yeah, I could relate to that. I could relate to that for sure. You know, what's also interesting about the dopamine conversation, a 48-hour water fast resensitizes those D2 dopamine receptor sites in the brain. So it's called dopamine fast. Yeah, it's great. It's a great thing to do once in a while. It's great to be bored from time to time. That also helps. For me, what I do to kind of reset these dopamine levels is I walk my dog, and I walk my dog without listening to anything, no music, no podcast. And that's my way of kind of just resetting from time to time in the morning and the evening. And then in between like these Zoom/podcast interviews, I'll go outside of my backyard and just sit there for 5 minutes, not look at anything, and just come inside. And for me, that's kind of how I do it throughout the day to reset my dopamine levels.
Oh, okay. I love this conversation. So when you said like the 48-hour dopamine fast, is that the one where, so that's not necessarily a water fast. That's just fasting from dopamine related.
No, it's actually just the water fast.
Oh, just a water fast. Okay.
Yeah. Now you could do, there's something else that's called dopamine fasting where like you don't do anything. I mean, you have water, but you don't like do anything that spikes dopamine. You pretty much are bored all day, and you do that once in a while to reset your levels. That could work too. I haven't done that yet, but it's an interesting idea.
I really like what you said about the walk without the music and everything.
Any stimulus.
Yeah. So, because you know what? Going back to that work and productivity and dopamine and everything, definitely something I've struggled with is feeling the need to make every moment productive. So I feel like I have to be like, you know, if I'm driving, I have to be listening to an audiobook. If I'm, you know, every moment must be productive.
I'm just like you, Melanie. Same thing.
You would love the book if you haven't read it or interviewed them. It's called Golden. It's about silence. It's a whole book about silence. And it's kind of a cheat for me because it made me reframe silence as actually being productive because we need silence in our life. I'm just thinking about that and how that kind of gave me freedom to be like, oh, I can actually just do something and not be multitasking. I can actually just be in silence.
That's good. I could definitely relate to that about wanting to always do something and be productive. Like I'm washing the dishes. Let's turn on an audiobook. Driving in my car, even though it's a 2-minute drive, audiobook.
Exactly. And then I feel bad. Literally, if I go like 2 minutes and don't multitask, I'm like, man, that was 2 minutes of, you know, like wasted time. Wasted. Oh, man.
I'm going to read that book. I think it'll inspire me to do more silence. It's a great name. It's a great name because they always say silence is golden, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I can, if you like, I can introduce you to the authors. They're amazing.
Yeah. Let me read it first, and I'd love that.
Awesome. Hey friends, did you know there is an ancient botanical that modern research shows performs on a level comparable to metformin when it comes to supporting healthy blood sugar levels? And not only that, this compound also supports the gut microbiome, healthy cholesterol levels, and even stimulates the AMPK pathway in the body to support cellular cleanup and longevity. You might have heard about AMPK. We talk about it a lot in the context of fasting, which also stimulates it. I am talking about berberine. I take berberine every single day of my life, and I see massive differences on my CGM, my continuous glucose monitor, when I use it. I take it to support my fast and before meals to reduce blood sugar levels. It is a powerhouse of a compound. And like I said, people are prescribed the pharmaceutical metformin to control their blood sugar levels when they could be taking this completely natural compound that has been used for thousands of years in both ancient traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine. I wanted to make the best berberine on the market, so that's why I created Avalon X Berberine 500. We did so much testing to find the most potent, pure, and clean form available. There's no problematic fillers, no common allergens, just pure, vegan, lab-tested berberine,
extracted from traditional sources. Friends, I am not kidding the difference I see on my blood sugar levels with this berberine. We're talking no post-meal spikes when I eat all that fruit and lower fasting blood sugar levels. It also reduced my HbA1c and my cholesterol levels. You can get it at avalonx.us and the coupon code IFPODCAST will get you 10% off. You can also get a one-time 20% off coupon code when you text AvalonX to 877-861-8318. That's AvalonX to 877-861-8318. And you can get a 15% off coupon code by signing up for email updates. For that, just go to avalonx.us/email list. Again, friends, this is one of the most powerful compounds you can add into your health and wellness routine. Healthy blood sugar control, even if you're not pre-diabetic or diabetic, is so important. And berberine helps support that. It is the ultimate compound for blood sugar control, cholesterol, your gut microbiome, and longevity. Get it at avalonx.us with the coupon code IFPODCAST.
Okay, so also, yeah, so friends, I really love at the end, there is this whole, you know, purpose chapter, and I just thought it was really, really profound. I love how you talked about like the role of laughter in health, which I think is very underrated. Vitamin G. What is vitamin G?
I love that you said it without giving it away. There's been a lot of podcast hosts that just give it away because I like to build it up. So thank you. Yeah. Well, first of all, chapter 10 is my favorite chapter in the book. It's all about how your thoughts influence metabolism. I get into the nocebo effect, placebo effect, vitamin G, which I'll speak about right now, laughter, many other ways to improve your health without just focusing on nutrition. Vitamin G is the most important supplement that most people don't even realize. Look, it's great for fat loss. It's great for inflammation, brain fog, autoimmune. Pretty much every metabolic disease will become improved with vitamin G. UC Davis, I put a study from UC Davis on vitamin G. It showed that those who take vitamin G have healthier blood pressure levels, healthier blood sugar levels. Dr. Joe Dispenza did a workshop where he had his participants take vitamin G, and he measured their cortisol levels, which of course is their stress hormone, and their IgA levels, which supports the immune system. And he found after just 3 days, their cortisol levels dropped, meaning their stress levels lowered, and their IgA levels increased significantly, improving their immune system. The most comprehensive study ever done on vitamin G came out last year in JAMA. And it was from Harvard, published in JAMA, and I put it in the study. This study is incredible, Melanie. It had 49,275 people in the study. Talk about a study. All nurses. And it showed that the nurses who took vitamin G every day had a 9% reduction in dying from all-cause mortality and a 15% reduction in dying from cardiovascular disease compared to the nurses who didn't take vitamin G. And one more study in the book showed in caregivers, keep in mind, if you're a caregiver, that's a challenging job. It's really stuff, crazy stuff you're dealing with. And it showed the caregivers that intentionally took vitamin G at night had healthier mitochondria the following day, measured through this mitochondrial health index, MHI. Okay, your audience wants to know if there's an affiliate link for vitamin G. Do they sponsor the podcast? Do we have a coupon code? The answer is no, 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 because vitamin G is the feeling of gratitude, not the practice. I used to say practice, but it's not the practice of gratitude. It's the feeling of gratitude. Every single study I just shared with your audience is on gratitude. Gratitude will rewire your brain. It's what I call strength training for your soul. And the more you appreciate things, the more you see things to appreciate. Meaning it's a universal law, what you feed energy into expands. In other words, what you appreciate appreciates. And what you think about and what you think about, you bring about. So I highly recommend if you're not getting a daily dose of vitamin G, do it. Especially in the morning when you first wake up. And watch what it does to transform your health.
I love this conversation so much. So can you elaborate a little bit on what you mean by it's the practice versus the feeling?
Yeah, you know, left brainers, let me ask you this, Melanie. Are you more left brain, which is more analytical, facts, figures? Are you more right brain, emotional, imagination, or are you a combination of both?
I'm like 50-50.
Yeah, me too. I'm kind of in the middle. Most lawyers, architects, engineers are left brainers, and they really struggle with this concept because they need to see the studies, and that's why I gave the studies. But they treat it as an intellectual exercise, a checklist. Oh, okay. Vitamin G, gratitude. All right, 10 things I'm grateful for. Boom, boom, boom. Dopamine hit. I did it, Ben. Now, there are benefits to that. Don't get me wrong. But if you really want to get all the benefits to vitamin G, you don't treat it as a checklist. Instead of finding 10 things you're grateful for to write down, choose one thing you're grateful for, one person, one memory, and stay there for 2 minutes and feel as much feelings as you can. What did that person look like? How was their smile? What did they smell like? Or whatever it is in that feeling. The more feeling you bring into it, the more this is going to work for you. So gratitude is a feeling, not a practice. It's not an intellectual practice. It's an emotional feeling. That's what I meant by it.
Okay. I love that. So how do you, not to use the word practice, but how do you implement it into your daily life? What's your protocol?
Yeah. Every morning, I first thing I do is practice gratitude. Now for me, I do write it down, but I slow down with it. So I'll write down something and then I'll sit there for a minute and feel all the feelings and why I'm grateful for that. I'll move on to the next thing. I have, you know, those college ruled notebooks that we used to use all the time?
Yes.
Yeah. Those are my favorite. I have a whole bunch of those. I have probably like, I don't know, in my garage here, like 45 of them just filled with gratitude over the years. I haven't missed a day in like, I don't know, 10 years. I'm saving it because one day I'll speak on stage and show people stacks of just gratitude notebooks. And I've rewired my brain. This is now how I operate from gratitude. Believe me, I was the opposite of being grateful for most of my life. I was resentful. I was bitter. I was angry. So first thing in the morning, gratitude. Throughout the day, gratitude. Before I go to bed, when I lay down in bed, I don't write gratitude. I actually rewind my day and I extract all the gratitude in reverse. So I'll think about you tonight, Melanie. And I'll think about this conversation and how sweet you are and how nice you were to help me get this podcast out there and promote the book. So I'll just rewind my entire day, activity by activity, and then I fall asleep and then go back to my gratitude. So vitamin G all day.
I love that. I'm working on developing a dating app. So I have a...
Oh, wow.
We should talk about it. It's going to be around...
A biohacker dating app?
Well, for people on different... Well, okay. So food-centric, because so much of dating involves food. So they did a study and the top 4 first dates all involved food or drink. So it's basically going to be like any mainstream dating app, but you can filter by diet. So, you know, is it like, you know, just standard American or like a food lover, or is it keto or paleo or all the things? Yeah. Carnivore, wine lover, sober curious. I'm excited.
That's cool. That's a great idea. I hope it's already, because you're sharing it publicly. So I hope that's okay to share that.
We've been working on it for a while. So we're hoping to launch in like 2026, hopefully. So point being is the reason I say that is I'm on all the dating apps for research purposes.
Yes, research. Got it.
Do you want to know how many times I get messages that are like, I could be your research? And I'm like, every other person is saying that too. But in any case, on Hinge, my like opening quote thing is, and I don't know if this is like technically true, it might be a little bit more layered than this, but it says, you know, your brain can't exist in a state of fear and gratitude at the same time, which I think is just really powerful, you know, because you really can turn off if you're in a panic state or a fear state or just a low negative energy state. Having a moment of gratitude is, you know, not that, it's the opposite of that state. So I think it's a very powerful hack for people.
It is. You're right. You can't be anxious and in a fearful state and grateful at the same time. And if you're new to gratitude, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, you'll get better. It's like a muscle that you develop over time. If you have a hard time being grateful for something, then subtract something from your life that's important to you and see if you're grateful for it now. For example, your right arm. You might not be grateful for your right arm right now, but imagine somebody amputating your right arm. You can't write with your right hand anymore. You can't do all the things that you used to do. now you're grateful for the right arm, right? So you could subtract something and then bring it back to have gratitude for it.
Yeah. You know, and I'm even using this in real time. So like I had a, this actually happened today. I had something coming up I was really excited about, like a really incredible opportunity, and it's probably not happening now. And I was kind of upset about that, but I can be grateful that I even ever, like that I'm at a place where a sort of opportunity like that, you know, would even happen, you know, like that's so much to be grateful for. So yeah, reframe.
Yeah, compared to maybe like 3 years ago, 5 years ago, why you never would even had that opportunity. So exactly.
Years ago, I would have been excited by the idea of losing the opportunity because it just meant I even had it, you know? So I feel like you could probably reframe most, if not maybe everything, with gratitude.
It's all stories. Everything is a story. Like, just create the best story possible because it's either serving you or working against you. I always say you are the most influential person you'll speak to today. Have the best conversation.
It's so true. It reminds me of, I'm reading right now, Dave Asprey's new book. I know you guys are going to do a podcast swap at the biohacking conference, and his book is heavily meditated. And the part I was reading last night was talking about how, you know, there's like a 3.5 second delay between things happening to us and then our brain like talking about it. So basically things happen and then our brain makes a story about it. So, which may or may not be accurate about reality. So we have a lot of agency there.
Yeah, that's interesting because I'm surprised it's that long, 3.5 seconds. I thought it would be like...
Might have been like 0.3. I should probably get the right stat for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but 3.5 sounds long to me, but you're correct. I remember Viktor Frankl, who wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning. He was a Jewish psychiatrist who was put in these concentration camps, and he survived, and he wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning. And he said, through stimulus and response, there is a space, and that space holds your power. So that's like, it's a difference between reacting to something and responding to something. I actually have a coin right here on my desk that I got from Bob Proctor that says, on one side is a rough side of the coin that says, react and you lose control. The other side is smooth and it says respond and you're in control. And I always remember this because if I'm not perfect. I mean, we always react to things, but the better you get at taking a 30-day reaction and condensing it to like 3 seconds where you respond and take ownership, that you just want to get better and better at it. And I love that Dave's talking about that in his book.
Oh my goodness. I love that so much. I wonder if it was that quote that I saw. Did you have that quote in the book?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe it was in a different book.
Okay. Recently, I saw that concept of responding versus reacting and looking at the world that way. It really opened my eyes because it makes you realize that at any given moment, it's like, oh, am I responding or reacting? And I know it's just like two words, but I think language really opens up our ability to, you know, perceive reality a different way.
100%. Yeah. And most of us are reacting. We're not responding. We're just reacting. And you're not in control. Somebody else is in control. Nobody can make you feel offended, by the way. Going back to that conversation, you choose to be offended. Nobody can make you feel inferior or dumb or stupid. You choose. You allow them to make you feel that way. It's your choice. With the whole react versus respond, do you know who Dr. Michael Beckwith is? Michael Beckwith?
It rings a bell.
Yeah, he's pretty popular in space in self-development, and he has a three-step approach to mastering your life that Bob Proctor used to always talk about. And I think it's valuable to share it real quick because we're talking about this now. He says, when something happens to you, you have a three-step approach to master it, or it's going to control you. Step number one, it is what it is, accept it. Either it's going to control you or you're going to control it. Step number two, harvest the good, and God is always good. The more you look for the good, the more you'll find. Number three, forgive and forget the rest. Forgive means to let go, to abandon completely. So you could apply that to everything in your life, like this opportunity that you just mentioned. Like, it is what it is, accept it. Either it's going to control you or you're going to control it. Number two, harvest the good. You just did that. Well, you're actually grateful to even have this opportunity and lose it. Number three, just forgive and forget, which means to completely abandon. So that's the three-step approach that I learned from Bob Proctor, but through Michael Beckwith.
I love it. That's amazing. So powerful. And speaking of gratitude, one section of your book I was so grateful to read. I was literally just filled with gratitude. It's because I'm actually also working on a coffee line right now, and specifically high in CGA content. So we're sourcing beans because there are certain, and I'll let you talk about CGA, but we're sourcing beans that are particularly high in CGA, and then we're roasting them to preserve that CGA content. So it's going to be like basically the highest antioxidant coffee you can have, and mold-free and toxin-free and all the things. So in any case, I was so excited in your book when you had a supplement section, you have coffee and you talk about CGA. So yeah, what are your thoughts on coffee and CGA content?
I love that you're creating that. That's awesome. I think that's super cool. It's going to crush. Yeah, I have it as a supplement. I know it's not technically a supplement, but I needed to fit in coffee somehow because I love it. Coffee is great. I mean, most people think coffee is going to increase your risk of cardiovascular disease and high blood pressure. The studies show when it's legit coffee, like you just explained, the style that you're doing, no, it lowers your blood pressure. It improves heart health and improves liver health. And yeah, the chlorogenic acid, the CGA, is the main player. It's the main polyphenol antioxidant in these coffee beans. And it's great for fat loss. There's a Norwegian study I put in the book that showed women who drank high CGA coffee, like the one you're producing, lost twice as much weight as the women who drank lower CGA brews. The CGA helps the liver with the bile production we were talking about earlier, detoxification. It helps you process fats more efficiently, similar to what a statin does without the harmful side effects of a statin. It helps your metabolism use fat for fuel more efficiently. It's a game changer, high CGA coffee for fat loss. Unfortunately, most coffee is loaded with toxins and mycotoxins and heavy metals, and it's produced in a way where it loses a lot of the CGA. So it needs to be the right sort of brew, similar to what you're creating. And I love it. I love my coffee. I love the caffeine. The caffeine works really well with the CGA to get you those benefits. And you don't want to roast it at a dark roast because you lose about 75% of its CGA content when it's roasted too much. So I love how you know that and you said you're going to do it in a way to preserve it. So yeah, I'm all in with coffee. I think it's a game changer for metabolic health.
Yeah, I love this so much. And actually that's something, because right now what we've been doing is trying a lot of different roasts because it's really important, like you were saying, that it's not over roasted. So we're trying to find like basically the lightest roast we can do that won't be too light, where like people who, you know, don't like light coffee won't like it. So that's been, you know, something we've been working on right now. I'm curious, going back to the addictive personalities, did you ever with coffee find yourself, like, did you ever have an addiction problem with coffee and like need to wean off, and how do you incorporate it into your life?
I have coffee most days. At the end of the year, I have a routine. The second half of December, I get off coffee just for a little reset. I don't do it once a year. I should probably do it maybe once a week. But other than that, I pretty much have coffee every morning. I do have a curfew where I don't have it too late. I drink clean coffee. I put all the good stuff in there. But yeah, 2 weeks out of the year, I'll have a reset where I don't have it. And it's difficult at first. And then when I have it again after 2 weeks, it's the best coffee in the world.
Hi, friends. I have very exciting news. So I know you guys already know and love Element and understand the importance of electrolytes for hydration, energy, focus, supporting your fasting, your workouts, all the things. Guess what? Element has a product that goes beyond electrolytes. What is it? Well, so I am very pro the benefits of caffeine. I love the cognitive benefits, the longevity benefits. And that said, I am a slow caffeine metabolizer, so I don't actually take in lots of caffeine. I've also learned that the form, dose, and balance of caffeine makes a huge difference in how you actually feel. That's why I am so excited that Element has launched a brand new lemonade iced tea. It's refreshing, delicious, lightly caffeinated, perfect for summer, and what I really love is the science behind it. So instead of relying on massive amounts of isolated synthetic caffeine like so many energy drinks out there do, Element Lemonade Iced Tea uses a full black tea extract, so alongside the caffeine, you naturally get compounds like L-theanine and polyphenols. The L-theanine actually helps smooth out the stimulant effect for a calmer, steadier energy experience with less spikes and crashes, while the polyphenols provide antioxidant support as well. And you guys know I am all about the antioxidants. And the incredible team at Element, including my personal hero, Rob Wolf, conducted a meticulous amount of research to find the perfect amount of caffeine, which is the sweet spot for sustained focus and energy without feeling overstimulated or wrecking your sleep later. That is exactly 50 milligrams of caffeine. On top of that, they knew that caffeine can increase your need for critical minerals like sodium, potassium, and magnesium, so that's why Element Lemonade Iced Tea pairs the perfect amount of caffeine with a meaningful dose of electrolytes to support optimal hydration and performance. And of course, Element Lemonade Iced Tea is completely free of sugar, artificial colors, and all the other stuff that you do not want that are so commonly found in caffeinated drinks today. It's built on the same science-backed electrolyte formula that Element is known for, with sodium, potassium, and magnesium in ratios designed to support hydration and energy production. The result? You get your perfect pack of portable, easy-to-make lemonade iced tea that provides steady, clean energy that tastes delicious and actually feels good. As you guys know, Element is trusted by neuroscientists, functional medicine practitioners, professional athletes, including the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and they're even used by Navy SEALs and the Marines. So are you ready to up your drink level with the ultimate lemonade iced tea? You can get it. And when you get it, get a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. That's right, a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. Find your favorite flavor or share it with a friend. And by the way, Element has an amazing no questions asked refund policy, so you can try it completely risk-free. If for any reason you're not satisfied, they will give you your money back. Again, go to drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon for a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase, including their new lemonade iced tea.
Wow, so your Christmas is not caffeinated.
No, it's not. It's not a caffeinated Christmas.
No caffeinated Christmas. You got to write a song about that. Oh my goodness. And do you drink alcohol?
No, I haven't had alcohol in over 9 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, it's interesting. I actually went a year where I didn't have any coffee or any caffeine, no coffee or alcohol, because I just wanted to see, like, do I feel any different, you know? And at the end of the year, I was like, I don't think this is my thing.
Well, great job though, doing that experiment.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting for me. Yeah. So I love that people can, that's great that you know it works for you and you have your system and then you bring it back. So the amount of coffee I drank in college was wild. And it was not good coffee. It was Starbucks and all the additives and all the things. Oh, I shudder.
I've been there.
While we're talking about supplements, which is I feel like a loaded topic, but are there any others that you find particularly beneficial for people?
Yeah, minerals. I think we're mostly mineral deficient. So high quality minerals, fulvic, humic acids. I love high quality minerals. Great for the mitochondria, great for the metabolism, great for energy production. And we're just so deficient in it. So minerals, I also love essential amino acids. We mentioned how important muscle building is and essential amino acids are great for that. So essential amino acids, creatine is a favorite of mine as well. I take about 10 grams a day of creatine, sometimes more on some strength training days. I mean, yeah, we could go down a whole rabbit hole of supplements, but those are great. Magnesium, a lot of people are deficient in magnesium, so a high quality magnesium is terrific. I imagine that your supplement counter or pantry is like mine, like the vitamin shop. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yes, there's a lot there. I love like slowly making my own versions of all my supplements, which has been fun. And then there's also been in the past, like the supplement graveyard, you know, of everything that you tried. Oh man. I remember back in the day, like I tried methylene blue when like a decade ago. And I was like ordering when it wasn't a thing, you know, and I was like ordering like fish tank cleaner off of Amazon and like mixing it up in my kitchen. I was like, am I going to kill myself? Supplement world's really, really interesting.
That's a cool story. And I do like methylene blue as well. I use it cyclically.
It's crazy how much that turns your tongue blue though. Like crazy.
Well, I don't, I just swallow it or I do suppository.
Oh, a suppository. Interesting. Oh, I should look into that.
Turns your poop blue though.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. A question about the creatine. I haven't taken creatine, and do you have any thoughts? Because I eat such a high protein diet, like a shockingly high protein diet.
What does that mean? How much protein are you getting?
I mean, I should probably quantify it more in my life, but every night I eat like pounds of fish and chicken and meat. Like last night, I probably ate, I don't know, 3 or 4 pounds of meat.
I eat a lot of meat too. I understand. I love meat. But I'm a lot bigger than you.
So I don't know if I need, I don't know. Yeah, I'm curious by the creatine. You said you just started taking it recently?
No, not recently. I've been taking it for a few years. But I love it. I think it's a great addition. I mean, it's super safe. It's affordable. It's great for the mitochondria. So well researched. It's not going to hurt you. Even though you're eating a lot of meat like I am, I think it's a good idea to take it. Maybe 5 grams a day and see what it does for you. But great. It's great for the brain. It's great for the mitochondria, which are mostly found in the brain. And of course, exercise performance, muscle recovery, and all the other stuff. But I love it. I love that with the amino acids. I'll take that pretty much every day.
I'm going to consider this. And then I'm glad you mentioned mitochondria, because tapping into the broader part of your book, the idea, you talk about this in the book, but the idea that fats and ketones burn more cleanly in the mitochondria versus sugar. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I've also seen, I hear that a lot, and I believe it's accurate. And I've also heard pushback where people are like, actually, they just say that's not true, that actually sugar burns faster and better, which may be different than burning cleanly. Yeah. So what is the role of the mitochondria and burning fuel choices?
Yeah. So that the language there, right? Sugar burns faster and better is not the same thing as cleaner and healthier. It is true, sugar will burn faster. Better, I wouldn't agree to that. But it's really basic when I sort of dive into this. It's basic human physiology. It's in the actual biochemistry textbooks. When it shows cells and the electron transport chain using sugar, glucose, for energy, it shows that the cell, the mitochondria to be more specific, will produce around 32 to 36 ATP molecules, these energy units. Then there's some byproducts being created, these reactive oxygen species, as a result of that. The same textbooks show when the mitochondria are now using ketones instead of the glucose as a fuel source, it produces 136 ATP molecules, about a 4% increase in energy versus the sugar. With that increase in ATP, you would think, okay, more energy is being produced. That means like burning firewood, more smoke, more ROS. But what's different here with the with the ketones, is that it creates this mitochondrial uncoupling process. The analogy that I love from Dr.
Gundry, yes.
Yeah, Gundry, exactly, is the pressure cooker analogy. Like when the steam gets built up, think of that as free radicals. There's that pop-up valve to get rid of the excess steam. That's what's happening when your mitochondria are using ketones. So he doesn't like the term "it burns clean" anymore. I know Dr. Gundry talks about that, but the way he explains it is that it does burn clean. He just doesn't like that terminology. So I think it's important to burn both fuel sources. I'm not saying to only burn ketones, but it is powerful. More energy. With that ATP increase, it increases your basal metabolic rate. It benefits the cells that have the most mitochondria, the brain, the eyeballs, the ovaries, the testicles, the heart. So I think it's a great source of energy for the body.
And distinguishing here, ketones, what about burning fat? And I know this interests into the whole world of like the type of fat and seed oils. Are seed oils, I know we're dancing around this clean terminology, but do they burn the least cleanly?
Yeah. There's a great study that Dr. Kate Shanahan made me aware of on how the mitochondria use different fatty acids for energy, and it breaks down polyunsaturated fats, mono and unsaturated fats, and it showed that essentially these seed oils, when they're processed, the mitochondria cannot really use them as an energy source efficiently. So it does depend on the type of fatty acid. To your point, saturated fats would be the best, followed by monounsaturated fats. And then, of course, the poly would be the worst.
Yeah. And I remember that study. I feel like, so saturated fat was better. I feel like she also had a study where monos were like lit up the brightest, which I thought was really, I'll have to go back and find it. Have your thoughts changed at all on the seed oil stuff? And how do you feel about the changes with administration? And like, do you think there's the potential of a lot of change happening with seed oils and restaurants and things like that?
Has my mind changed on it? No, it hasn't. Seed oils are now becoming mainstream, which is good, and it's also bad. There's a lot of confusion. Because Melanie, there's a big difference between studies showing seed oils have no harmful effects and actually could be healthy for you, and studies showing seed oils are bad for you. Why is it? Why do we see both? Because this is why. There's a difference between processed seed oils and unprocessed seed oils. I think unprocessed seed oils, omega-6 fats, are amazing for you. If they're organic, cold-pressed, you never heat them up, in moderation, I love them. I take them from time to time. But it's the processed seed oils that are highly inflammatory, and that's the majority of the seed oils that are out there. So that's the difference when you hear about these people arguing. It's the difference between processed versus unprocessed, and they're still bad for you. I put the study in the book about the aldehydes being produced from frying French fries and vegetable oils. It's the same as tobacco cigarettes. Here's the tricky thing. I do think there's going to be some changes with the administration. At least I hope. And I do think that's happening. And I'm really excited about that. But I don't expect it to, in the next 4 years, to have any dramatic changes. Bob Proctor used to say that if everybody swept their own front porch, the entire town would be clean. So still, you got to take ownership and take care of yourself. Don't expect the government to save you. But the tricky thing with like Steak and Shake, this is a company, and you're going to see other companies that are going to manipulate this seed oil-free message. They are touting their French fries are cooked in beef tallow, and they're using this seed oil-free trend to get people to go buy their food. It is true. Their French fries are cooked in beef tallow. But Melanie, did you know that their French fries are pre-cooked in seed oils before it's cooked in the beef tallow?
Stop it. No. Are you serious?
I am serious.
Oh my gosh. This is so upsetting.
I know. So you have to ask them. That's why the allergy thing is important. And I tell them I have an allergy because they'll check. And they'll say, oh yeah, we do cook in beef tallow, but it's already pre-cooked and it has canola, it has soybeans, so you can't have this. So you have to find that out. I will tell you, and I don't want to drop too many company names here because I know you have sponsors and all that, but I do want to shout out one company that does it right. Masa chips are amazing because they're 100% beef tallow. It's organic tortilla chips and they do it right. But you have to be aware because a lot of these companies are going to jump on the seed oil free bandwagon and they're going to manipulate the message.
Wow. That's so incredibly upsetting and not surprising at the same time. Yeah, I haven't had masa chips, but I hear a lot of good about them.
They're amazing. I have them stacked in my pantry.
Awesome. Yeah, you did not put in this book your seed oil card, right?
I did not.
Did you think about having it again in there?
I don't know why I didn't put it in there. Maybe because I didn't want to take people. I don't know. It's a good question. I probably should have put it in there. But yeah, seedoilcard.com is where you download it for free.
Okay, perfect. And that, yeah, so that's where people can bring that to the restaurant and make the whole process super easy. Have you ever had any like horrible pushback at a restaurant?
Never. It's worked for me almost every single time. And not just in the US. I've been used it in Mexico, the Bahamas. I was just there, the Dominican Republic. I haven't been used it in Europe yet, but I imagine it would be used there. So no pushback. It's been great. I don't want to take the hit. I don't want that seed oil in my body for years.
Perfect. Well, we will put a link to that in the show notes. Yeah, I've been ordering so plainly and simply for so long. I'm very much like accustomed to it and used to it, but I know it can be scary for people to, I don't know. I think they get nervous about making all these requests. So I just like to reassure people it's very doable. Just be nice. Just be nice.
Always be nice. Tip well, you know, have a good time with them. And the card makes it easy, so you don't have to feel as uncomfortable. They're usually going to ask, do you have any allergies? And you'll say, oh yeah, I do. Here's a card. They'll take it to the chef and they'll show you what's safe on the menu and what's not safe.
And honestly, having been a fine dining server in the past 5 years, I don't think anybody ever handed me a card, but if they had, that would have made it a lot easier, actually.
Yeah. You know, some servers tell me that. They're like, I love that you have this. Thank you. This helps out so much.
So easy. So I should start doing this, actually. I don't know why I'm not doing it. Okay. Why am I not doing this?
I'll bring some pseudo cards to you when I see you at Dave's conference. Yeah.
We only briefly touched on all of the incredible content in this book. So go get it now. Go get Metabolic Freedom. A question about just the program in general. So, you know, it's a 30-day program. How does it compare? Because I know you have your program where you work with people. Is this that same program? Is it a version of it? Like the 30 days, has it always been a 30-day thing? Like, what is this program? Did you create the program just for the book, or is it what you've been doing?
It's a program specifically for the book based off of what they read. So the causes, the solutions, how do you actually implement it? Because I could give them the information, but if they don't apply it, it could only get them so far. So it's split up into two different directions in terms of that 30-day plan. There's a beginner plan. So if you're completely new to this and you're just trying to get better, you follow that beginner plan. But if you're already doing low-carb keto fasting, you're a biohacker, then you follow the advanced plan. Everybody will benefit. It's really laid out for you in a really simple structure. Vitamin G is a part of that. There's also some things to change your self-image in that 30-day plan. There's an audit you do on your environment, which is super cool. So it's not just what to eat, what not to eat. It has that, but also so much more. And if you give it 30 days, and I don't expect you to be perfect, but to have progress in that 30 days, to do better each week, you're going to notice a huge, huge change in that 30-day protocol. And then there's recipes at the end that make it really simple for you to eat clean, fat-burning foods.
I cannot agree more. I cannot endorse this enough. So friends, go get it now, Metabolic Freedom. Thank you so much, Ben. So this actually brings us to the last question that I ask on the show. And appropriately enough, it is because I am so obsessed with gratitude. What is something that you're grateful for?
I love that you asked this. Me too. I do the same thing. I love it.
Is it your last question?
It is my last question.
We're twins.
We need more. Yeah, we need more podcasters asking this as the last question. Okay, let me treat this not as an, because my mind went intellectual to give you a whole list of things, but I don't want to do that. I've been doing a lot lately with the book, interviews, speaking, writing. It's a lot. And I'm very grateful that I'm healthy. I have the energy, the vitality to do all this, to get the message out there. Because if I was not healthy, there's no way I would be able to get the message out there. So I'm grateful that I could walk, I could talk, I have the energy to do all this. I'm grateful for people like you, Melanie, who are colleagues and friends of mine who support me and the mission. And it's not even about me. It's about the people that are struggling with their health. And it's just cool to be in this space with you. And yeah, I'm grateful for all that. I just have a lot of vitamin G in my heart right now.
I love this so much. And that actually made me think about how I'm grateful, because I had a really dark time in my life with health conditions and things. And I remember thinking to myself, I will know that I've made it out of this if I'm out eating at a restaurant again. So I love that we just had a conversation right now where I'm talking about my restaurant eating habits, you know, and all the things. And I'm just talking about that casually, but I'm really grateful for that. I'm so grateful for you. I said at the beginning, I'm going to keep saying it. Ben Azadi, you're just such an incredible human. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for putting it out there. Thank you for everything that you do. Congrats in advance on the book launch.
Thank you, Melanie. And I feel the same way about you. Can I just add one more thing for the audience?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please do.
I forgot to tell this to you, so it's my bad, but I have a free course that I'm giving away for those who purchase the book. 12 lessons on the metabolism that I built out in this course, along with some exclusive interviews. It's an interview series with Dr. Jason Fung, Megan Ramos, Cynthia Thurlow, and Dr. Daniel Pompa.
Oh, nice. All the fasters.
All the fasters. And it's free. And you could get it over at metabolicfreedombook.com. You purchase the book on any of those retailers, and then you go back to the page, put your name, email, order number, and you're instantly sent that course with the interview. So metabolicfreedombook.com.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing. Okay. So friends, definitely get that. Cynthia was, she was a co-host with me. We love Cynthia.
Yeah. I love Cynthia too.
And I love Jason and Megan and Dan. So this is incredible. Actually, Dr. Pompa, he was on in Vegas. He was on my list of people I interviewed. So I got to meet him in person for the first time, which was really exciting. And you.
Yeah. You were a pro at that event. It was like interview after interview. I was like, oh my gosh, look at Melanie go. I'm impressed.
That was a crazy day. Well, thank you so much, Ben. This was amazing. Wishing you all the success with the book. We'll put all these links in the show notes. And yeah, I can't wait to have you on in the future for the next thing, the next big thing.
I can't wait. I'm grateful for our collaboration. We'll see each other in Texas at Dave's event, and keep doing your amazing work, Melanie.
You too, Ben. Have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. For more information and resources, you can check out my book, What, When, Wine, as well as my supplement line, Avalon X. Please visit melanieavalon.com to learn more about today's guest, and always feel free to contact me at contact@melanieavalon.com. And always remember, you got this.